The WILS phone lines are open on the Jack and Tom Show.
393-3700.
Go ahead. Tell Jack and Tom why they're wrong. Again.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. 393-3700. 393-3700. Anyone is still looking for tickets, and you can tell us how long that field goal was that Ralph Moshenko kicked in 1983 to tie Purdue on the last play of the game, or if you can give us the name of Drew Brees' favorite receiver, caught 21 passes in the Boilermakers win that ended Michigan State's run at a perfect season in 1999. We have a couple of tickets for you. Let's go out to our phones. Let's try Jerry. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jack. Good morning, Tom.
Hello, Jerry.
I was going to be nice to you guys, but when you mentioned Tom Izzo and the whole money thing, I couldn't help thinking that, you know, you guys, you two must be the poster boys for overpaid.
Well, maybe we are. Who knows?
Well, and look who's calling you. So,
yeah. You know, I look at Major League Baseball players and what they make.
Oh, that they epitomize that.
Alex Rodriguez made $25 million, and, you know, no big deal. Everyone now has just come to accept it. But for some reason, a college coach who makes $3 million is considered disgraceful. And in some ways, I can see that. But I also know that when the Cleveland Cavaliers are in position to offer someone $9 million, Michigan State can't get in the bidding war. They say, if you want to go and be a pro coach and you want the money, we're going to show you we appreciate you. We're going to make you one of the top 10 paid coaches in the country. But that's all
we're
going to
do. Let's go one step further. Brett Favre, $16 million for 16 games. He's getting $1 million a game.
And how many, it's like you said, Jack, replacement costs. How many Alex Rodriguez's are there? How many Brett Favre's are there? I mean, that's, you're talking about an elite group. That's the old Bill Russell argument. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking about the top 650. You know, individuals in their profession, and you look in other industries, and that's a wider net still. But I want to touch real quickly on the attendance, guys. Yeah. But I think this attendance rap is a canard.
Okay.
I think it's a red herring. You know, for decades, we and I tried to point this out to our diminutive friend on 870 the other day. We were in the top 10 nationally for years, Jack, years in average attendance. You know, you can point the finger five or six different ways, and you'd probably be right in all of them, whether it's the economy. I think the Iowa, there's a hangover from that game, even though people might not admit it. And I do think there's a backlash because of the disciplinary thing. Not among the rank and file, but I think that extra 5,000 or 6,000.
Really?
You know, that's just my feeling about something like that.
I think it's the student section is a big part of this thing, and because the upper deck. And I haven't been to a game at Spartan Stadium. I just hearing from the people that I know that have been to the game.
You haven't lived.
It doesn't even fill up. And I think what happens is Michigan State. I mean, Michigan, not to keep going in that other direction. You're talking 28,000 to 30,000 students, and it's part of you just go
the culture.
And go. It's a cultural thing,
yeah.
And that cultural thing has not been at Michigan State in terms of that student body yet.
Right.
And that's been built up over 40-some years, Tom, in a major metropolitan market.
Yeah, the markets are different. There's no question about that. And Michigan State basketball. Look how many people want to be in the Izzo.
They turn them away. This may not be a large point here, guys, but this particular team doesn't seem to have – we don't have a Denard Robinson.
Right.
You know, that Mike Joanne, he just has a marquee name. It's a pretty kind of – the fame has been spread out, so to speak. We don't have a real, highlight guy that, that might be able to draw in maybe the casual fan. But one last thing, Jack. Great interview with Bruce Hooley. It's refreshing to hear a candid – insightful analysis of the home team. Okay, I mean, you can do this type of thing, you know, with a scalpel. You don't have to do it with a harpoon.
Right.
And he was very, very honest and candid about Terrell Pryor and Trussell and the whole program. And
he always is.
Having sat in the middle of a bunch of Ohio State people years ago, this was at 99, Jack, right before they canned Cooper. And I got the impression I was sitting with a bunch of big game hunters that were looking to bag a tiger talking about Cooper. So
yeah
they don't take any prisoners.
No, they don't.
Thanks
for
taking the call, Jack.
All right, Jerry. Let's go right back out to our phones and let's try Flat Gut. Hello, Flat.
Hello from the great outdoors.
Where are you?
I'm sitting in my deer blind.
Oh, all right. How long have you been out there?
Well, I got up at 5, and I've been in the blind since about 6:45.
I mean, have you been doing this all week?
Oh, just Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
I have other obligations.
What's on your mind, Flat Gut?
I just thought I'd remind the Spartan Nation how lucky they are to have Mark D'Antonio back. My wife didn't even have a heart attack, but had a heart catheterization 22 days before he did, and she ended up having open heart surgery because a stent wouldn't work with her blockage like his, and it's been a long recovery.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. You know, that's one of the things about this season that was on the front burner for a while,
right,
and now it's been kind of pushed back, was the job that, and you talked about this, Tom, the job that the assistant coaches, Don Treadwell and Pat Narduzzi, and the entire
right.
staff
Seamless
did.
Seamless transition.
Yeah.
It
really
that's
kind of
having
held
a good
it together.
Staff, and that's being a staff that's been together for a long time, you know, down in Cincinnati, a lot of the parts that moved back up here. And so, you know, that
they beat a Wisconsin team that is not easy to beat.
No, looking back, you know, at the time that victory over Wisconsin, it was, you know, decent, but the value of that has been enhanced because Wisconsin just served up 83 on IU last week. It's a very good football team. They're a lot better than I thought they were. And so that's a quality win. It's the biggest win that Michigan State has this year is beating Wisconsin. You know, the Michigan win was a quality win. It's a rival, and it's on the road and everything, but it doesn't compare to beating Wisconsin.
Right. And Wisconsin has proven to be a number 7 team in the BCS. You know,
right.
Big Ten's got 3 of the top 12.
So whether that's justified or not remains to be seen.
Yeah,
we'll see how it pans out in the bowl games.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not a big bowl game guy because I don't think it's a good barometer. I think you got so long, the layoff.
But
they
how else
are
you
going to
value interconference
I don't
play?
Know. I don't know what you can. That's all speculation, and it's what makes it so much fun is we can be debating it from now to February. People are still arguing whether Nebraska would have won by 2 touchdowns or 3 in 1997. We'll be back with much, much more. We're going to talk with John Colasar, former Wolverine, up next.